You're listening to The Scene on Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell, joined by
Scott Fingold here from the Illinois Times, and we are going to let you know what's happening this weekend and beyond during the coming week here in the Central Illinois area in terms of arts and culture and all that sort of fun stuff.
So one gallery in the Springfield area that we always look forward to their shows, which happen once a month, that's the Demo Project Gallery, which is a small house on the campus of the Springfield Art Association, and it usually hosts installation artists or maybe alternative artists, so to speak. And so we spoke with Ronald Lambert. His show will be closing out, but you can still see it Friday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. They're doing things a little differently this time. And we got a chance to talk to Ronald Lambert, right, Scott?
Right. And, yeah, he's an artist from Pennsylvania. And we talked with him a little bit about the materials that he works with and the ideas behind his art and the ways that they relate to the space that he's showing it in. So here's our little conversation with Mr. Lambert.
Well, lately I've been working with bits and pieces of houses, using basically Home Depot, like house materials, kind of reconstructing these pieces that are sort of personifications of like ill houses, you know, with like growths and stuff on them.
Your show is actually closing. People are going to have a chance to see it. What was it like at the opening?
I had a great time. It was pretty laid back. A few people would introduce themselves, ask me to come in and talk about the work. So I was really happy that people like took the initiative and, you know, were at least interested enough to have a conversation about it. But I met some really nice people. It seems like there's some great kind of energy around that crowd.
So it looks like your work combines, as you mentioned, these like architectural aspects of pieces of houses, kind of literally. But you also have prints that you do of nature, of you know, different scenic landscapes, be they water or clouds or land. Is there some sort of juxtaposition going on there? Or, you know, how did you decide to do both of those things?
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff's a little bit older. Like, there was a time when I was kind of doing both, and then I kind of went more towards the house stuff. I started with, like, this more sort of kind of exploration into some kind of American sublime visual experience, and then it kind of branched into the places that we inhabit and how we kind of, like, put all this emotional baggage on that, as well as, like, these sort of large vistas, like the Hudson Valley painters and stuff like that. So it kind of, like, split off from the nature stuff. But occasionally it kind of comes back as like on the mantelpiece in the Demo Project, those images are sort of where it's starting to return, just as like these places that feel like grounded in some kind of peaceful, idealized environment versus like these places that like the situations that are maybe a little bit more tentative. I mean, part of it came from like being in the flood in Nashville and doing this stuff about like hyper-idealized landscapes. And then when you see like nature all of a sudden like totally taking out people's houses, you know, it's hard to kind of go back to the prettiness of it, right?
That's Ron Lambert, and his art exhibition called Unfavored Air is at the Demo Project Gallery in Springfield right now. It will be closing on Friday night, an art closing reception from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the exact same time in the same space, but at the back of the house, there will be an opening reception for Aaron Ferimsky. Aaron is a Bloomington, Illinois artist, and she is she has works that are ceramics. Her exhibition is called Considering Home. She will be joining us as well to talk a little bit about her art. A note that over in the main area of the Springfield Art Association, there will be another ceramics-themed art exhibition you can check out all the same night, and Erin was a judge for that.
I am a ceramic artist. I personally make sculpture. Whenever somebody just hears that you are a ceramic artist, they tend to think pottery and the wheel. Like many artists who work with clay, I started that way, but then quickly fell in love with hand building. And it wasn't until my graduate school work at The Ohio State University that I completely left function behind and began making strictly sculptural work, which I have been doing for the last 17 years now.
Is there a place there where it goes from being more of a hobby to an art, the pottery to sculpture transition? What was that like for you?
Well, I think that that's a good question, in that I want to point out that I also think that there is a lot of pottery that is art and not always seen as just hobby work. There's some amazing functional work out there. As for shifting from it being a hobby to a career, I think that that just happened at an earlier stage, because I just always saw myself as being a career artist.
And so I have your artist statement open here, and I just want to read a little bit and maybe have you elaborate for people. So you write that, like brocade stretched to cover an overstuffed chair, my pieces reveal a sense of expansion, as if one form is gently surrounding another. Each piece beckons to be held in the hands and perhaps brought close to the face to listen and examine with a greater intensity. Tell us what that means as far as what people will be seeing.
If you could see my work, whether it's online or in the show, hopefully some people can get there, there's a real bulbous feel to it. They're very volumetric forms, like a balloon or overstuffed armchair. So even though my work isn't functional, I actually look at a lot of functional objects, such as furniture, knobs, other things that have a purpose in the home, referencing curtains, pattern, wallpaper. And I also reference those forms for a connection with the body also.
That was Erin Ferimsky, a Bloomington, Illinois artist who will have work in Springfield, an exhibition that's going up at the Demo. The reception for that is Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30.
So then, as we mentioned, Demo Project is on the campus of the Springfield Art Association. Simultaneous with the opening and closing shows at the Demo, you can also just take a couple of steps over to the main building and see Shapes of Influence, which is a nationally competitive juried ceramics show. So plenty of ceramics on display between the Demo Project and the Springfield Art Association this weekend.
And then Friday night in Champaign is the final Friday night stand-up comedy live show. That's going to take place at Soma Ultra Lounge at 320 North Neal Street in Champaign. And featured is the headliner, Derek Languinas. He is the winner of Best Comedy in the Montreal Fringe Festival. And he's won a number of other awards, including a finalist at the San Francisco Comedy Competition. And he is a member of Second City in Chicago. So a well-lauded comedian for those in the Central Illinois area who might be interested. And if you want to keep in the know about different comedy series and shows that take place in Champaign, you can do so by going to cucomedy.com.
And also in Champaign, Friday and Saturday night at the Art Theater Co-op, they're continuing their big screen noir series with one of the craziest and most entertaining of all film noirs, a movie called Kiss Me Deadly, starring Ralph Meeker as Mike Hammer. And it sort of starts out as you might think it's just a regular damsel in distress detective story, but it flies off the rails pretty quickly and turns into like an insane meditation on the Cold War nuclear fear. It's a very, very influential movie. Funny and disturbing. A lot of the humor is derived from it being sort of dated in some ways. The character, Mike Hammer, is such a violent, difficult, dense character, very sexist and in that very 1950s way, that comes off very ironically now, but probably didn't at the time. It's really one of the craziest movies.
So Scott's Black Sheep Fest is happening in Springfield.
Yes, Black Sheep Fest Saturday, pretty much all day from like 2 until, if you count the after parties, probably past 10 o'clock, maybe even midnight. Bunch of local bands. They did Dumbfest last month or the month before, where it's mainly out-of-town groups. Black Sheep Fest is a celebration of mainly Springfield artists, headlined by Our Lady, who are getting ready to put out a new album later this month. But plenty of other bands, including Sap and Moondead and a lot of the other local bands that are going to be that have been making a splash over there recently. Also, the band Epsom, for which I sing, will be playing there. We're honored to be part of Black Sheep Fest, and then later in the evening we will be doing a second show over at George Ranks with a new group called Liz Fitz. Liz Fitz is Elizabeth Farrar, Bruce Williams from Annihilate, and the great drummer Nick Murphy, and they do sort of quieter, I guess kind of jazz inflected vocal music, which will be quite a contrast with Epsom, which is nothing like that at all.
Well, I know in the central Illinois area, a lot of people look forward to Decatur Celebration, and that is happening this weekend from Friday through Sunday in, you guessed it, Decatur, Illinois. And the headliner I am most looking forward to, and I'm sure Scott can agree, perhaps, Morris Day and The Time will be playing on Sunday night at 7 p.m. And, of course, Morris Day being talked about more so in the past year probably than he had been in a while after Prince's passing, since his band was put together by Prince. He was found by Prince. He also lived in Illinois for a period. Yeah,
lived in Springfield.
Springfield.
And, Morris Day also was Prince's main rival in the film Purple Rain. So, majorly iconic musician there playing at Decatur Celebration. You know, that's one you probably don't want to miss.
All right, and then also at Decatur Celebration, there will be King Michael, which is apparently the best Michael Jackson tribute artist in the world, according to King Michael. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, I guess. And apparently Two White Crew is a high-energy 80s and 90s hip-hop tribute show.
Two what crew?
Two White, as
oh,
in...
Oh, Two White Crew.
As in they are white people.
I get it. I've actually heard Two Live Crew and you said that.
Right. I think that's probably what they were going
for. Oh, yeah, of
for.
Course.
So that sounds, you know, who knows how that's going to go. But 38 Special is a platinum Southern rock band. So just throwing some of the headliners out there to give you an idea of all the various things going on. I know in the past year that I went, there were a lot of different cover bands and local bands, just a lot of different music going on and food and all that kind of thing. So, you know, bring the whole family sort of event this weekend. Time for Culture Corner. Scott Fangold, what do you have?
Well, I was very excited to discover that there was a new album by one of my favorite guitar players that came out this past week, Mark Ribot, R-I-B-O-T, who I first heard as a sideman playing with people like Tom Waits and Elvis Costello. Also was in the band The Lounge Lizards with John Lurie and has done a lot of other work. But he has a new band called The Young Philadelphians that does cover versions of funk and soul standards from Philadelphia. And so they do Teddy Pendergrass and things like that in their own idiom, which is kind of an avant-garde-ish but still a very funky jazz soul review. And the other members of the band are Calvin Weston, who also drummed in the Lounge Lizards, Mary Halverson, another guitarist who I will buy anything that she does, just an amazing guitar player, and Jamal Dean Takuma, legendary jazz bass player. So here's a little bit of a track from that record. This is their version of all things, The Hustle. So that was the Young Philadelphians. What's on your Culture Corner plate this week, Rachel?
Well, this one I just remembered and I had kept, it's been on the back of my mind just with all the stuff going on in politics right now. A little history lesson, at least it was for me when I first saw it. So the documentary is about Shirley Chisholm, and she was actually last year, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Unfortunately, she had passed away in 2005. But as a lot of important figures in Black history, was somebody I hadn't heard about until I was well into college. She was the first major party Black candidate for the President of the United States and also the first African-American woman elected to Congress. That was in 1968. She ran for president in 1972. Of course, a very interesting year with Nixon running for his second term, which we all know how that went. And the Vietnam War, Black Panther Party was very active. She herself was a character that makes watching the documentary worth it in and of itself. The documentary is called Chisholm 72, Unbought and Unbossed, and it's a PBS production. So to give you a taste of the documentary, here is a little bit of the trailer.
I stand before you today as a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States of America.
Who is this? She's running for what? I said, oh, she got to be crazy. You know, I said, I got to meet her.
Spread the word, one another. It's the man's thing.
For the first time in the history of this nation, a person of color and a woman at that is running for the highest office of this land.
This was a period when Black women were finding their voices in unprecedented ways. There's another kind of individualism and sense of liberation.
We cannot continue to take things as they are. When we see around us that government is not responsive to certain segments of the population.
There was a grassroots movement. People who had never participated in political thought and political ideas were now doing it.
She was willing to take on the white establishment on the issues of the Vietnam War, on Head Start. She was out there fighting on every single issue.
You can watch all of Chisholm 72 Unbought and Unbossed online, and we will have a link to it at illinoisedition.org. And that brings us to Song of the Week. Scott, whatever do we have for that?
Oh my gosh, you won't believe this, but it's a song by the band Epsom. Not quite yet released track from the Epsom EP, which is going to be coming out soon, just three songs. This is a little song we like to call Boiling in the Blood-Brain Barrier.